So while Risa grabs her ukulele, let's all those of us who brought them light our candles together. And as long as these candles are lit, we remember that in this space we can release our shame, but that means we also have to release our judgment. Let's sing and tell stories and have a blessed Yule.
It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees. They're putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. It don't snow here, it stays pretty green. Gonna make a lot of money, I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to fly. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I made my baby cry. He tried hard to help me, you know, he put me at ease. He loved me so naughty, made me weak in the knees. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I'm so hard to handle, I'm selfish and I'm sad. I gone and lost the best baby that I ever had. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to fly. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I made my baby say goodbye. Well, it's coming on Christmas. Cutting down trees, they're putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. Thanks, loves. That's where I'm at emotionally. And I feel better, actually, from singing. It's nice to imagine skating away. Oh, thanks.
I'm going to open this door. I brought a reading. I brought a reading from the 1977 winter issue of Women's Spirit magazine. And this is a magazine, doesn't really cover it. It's a wonderful publication that came out of a feminist commune in Wolf Creek, Oregon. And just like we're doing right now, they also invited people to send in their stories and send in their poems and send in their songs. So in 1977 in Wolf Creek, Oregon, Mara Meshack from Boulder, Colorado, sent in this little bit of writing. I did some fact checking and I couldn't back up anything that she said, and it doesn't bother me a bit. I hope we can keep our imaginations in the conversation at all times. So this is a piece from Mara Meshack called Mother Yule. I was thinking of Christmas today, the magical tree of lights, fragile glass birds, chalk lambs, family obligations, tired mothers cooking, all for the birth of a son? An impish granny muddled my mind and gave me over to delight in Christmas again. I realized that she was the one who rekindled the sunfire from her hearth fire. Just a little old root woman cooking, making puckered fruits into honeyed pies, leavening sodden dough, all the magic that women have always done at Christmas. She has called herself Mother Yule. I've looked up Yule in the dictionary, and not only does it mean the pagan fire festival of the hearth log, but the word also means happy talking together. Father Christmas brought rewards for good behavior, but Mother Yule brings friends together around the magical goddess tree. I drew her, and she looks a little like a badger or mole, an earth-loving creature, slightly mischievous among humans and fugitive. I remembered the old legend of the Lady of Misrule, when the time of Christmas decreed outrageous body and foolish behavior among women, a time to caricature serious concerns, not abandoning them, but giving them a full shadow. I've drawn her onto a lino cut also and will print her picture again and again. May she uproar before she scurries into the winter, caverned earth again. So I wanted to really bring this happy talking together spirit of Yule, whether or not I could confirm that in any way, which I could not. But this is what it means to me now. This is what it means to me now. Happy talking together. And we're so grateful for all of you who are here with us, sitting with us in this moment, and also all of those of you who are listening to the recorded version of this and have chosen to spend your dark times with us in your ears. We love you and happy talking together. This year, we invited the Missing Witches Coven to be a part of this happy talking together, to bring their songs and their poems and their stories. And some of you have already told us that you have something in mind, and I would love to pass the microphone to one of you.
Hi, Jasper Joy here. And I'm bringing you a queer retelling of the Oak King and the Holly King. The Oak King and the Holly King was introduced to me through an annual midwinter playtelling where we would watch the battle of the Oak King and the Holly King played out by these young cis men in our coven. And they'd duke it out for the crown. So I've been retelling the story in the queerest, sweetest way I can, in the form of a poem. Here it goes. Within a sacred grove, within a sacred realm, two tree folk meet, laden with baskets of food and wine, placed at each other's feet. Laughing, they always stumble into one another's arms, kissing softly and exchanging the songs and secret charms. Feasting and dancing as the old sun does slowly wane. The oak friend and the holly friend in the darkness do remain. The night that covers their bodies as they frolic on the earth. Their friendship is a portal for the summer sun's rebirth. Red berry and the acorn celebrate the renewal of light. Together they are the horned one amidst the sacred rite. There's no supremacy here, no need to deal in blows. Just lovers dancing ecstatic till they're sweating in the snow. This is solstice in the queer realm, the wheel turning spell. Blessed be your chosen family. Hail and farewell.
Hi there, my dear coven. It is Angela, Heartwise Woman, coming to you from the West Coast. And I just want to extend my love and gratitude for Missing Witches. And I thought, I don't have much to share at all, but I thought that maybe we could sit here and listen to my cat purr. He is seated on my chest. Here we go. Let's see if we can hear baby kitty. That is my offering to our coven, is my sweet cat. May you all take the time to slow down and be in presence with yourselves and your loved ones and your animals and your books. May you do things that fill your bodies with pleasure. May you keep going through the thresholds that you need to go through to thrive. You're never alone, and we're always together in this. I love you. Happy Yule.
Once there lived an old man and an old woman, and they had a little girl, Nyrinka. The girl went into the forest with the other children, got lost, and ended up at Baba Yaga's place. She walked up to the hut. "Hut, hut! Turn your front to me, stand with your back to the forest." She walked in, and there was Baba Yaga. "Oh, what a pretty girl has come." Baba Yaga gave her something to drink, to eat, then lay down in her mortar next to her pestle. "Rock me." The girl rocked her. Baba Yaga fell asleep. The girl went outside and cried because Baba Yaga would not let her go home. A wolf came by. "Nyrinka, why are you crying?"
"Well, this is what happened. I lived with my grandparents. I went to the forest. I got lost. And now Baba Yaga won't let me go home."
"Sit on my back. I will carry you away from here." She sat down and they took off. But Baba Yaga woke up and said, "Mother Mortar, go farther than four versts." She caught up with them. She took the girl. She wouldn't let her go. A bear came by. "Nyrinka, why are you crying?"
"Well, this is what happened."
"Let me take you away from here."
The girl said, "No, it won't work."
"Well, you know what we'll do? We'll bake some pies. I'll take them to your grandparents and tell them where you are."
All right, so she baked the pies. She fed and rocked Baba Yaga to sleep. And then when the bear was not looking, she climbed into the basket and covered herself with the pies. The bear carried them and he said, "This basket is heavy. I'll sit on a tree stump and eat a pie." A voice came from far away.
"Don't sit on the stump. Don't eat the pie. I sit high and see far."
"So small," said the bear, "yet she sees so far. I have to keep carrying it."
So he walked and walked and walked. "No, I'm going to sit on a tree stump and eat a pie." Again the voice, "Don't sit on the stump. Don't eat the pie. I sit high and see far." The bear came to the grandparents and said, "Here are the gifts your granddaughter sent you. She baked you pies." Their dogs came out, ran after the bear, chased it away. He ran into the forest. The grandmother looked into the pies, and there was the little girl in the basket. The bear had brought her home. "For you, a pot of porridge, and for me, a sack of money. For you, a hoof, and for me, a trough of money." Hey, it's Melissa from Sweden, wishing everybody a glad Yule. Once upon a time, there were two sisters, Idama and Levana, who had different talents. Both were born from the moon, each from a droplet of the other. When the moon was in its darkest powers of chaos and creation, Idama was born. And when the moon was in its brightest light powers of expansion and separation, Levana was born. The two sisters were generally inseparable, although they sometimes liked to play at different times in different realms. They couldn't stay away from each other for long. They were born in a land that was so old, nobody knew where it was anymore. They had walked away from that land so long ago that nobody knew how to walk back there. The only thing they knew about that land was that it had the richest black soil on earth, a black that teemed with life and smelled like wind in the trees. Idama was able to run with the wolf when the moon was full, and Levana was able to run with the deer when the moon was dark. They each taught the humans different skills. Idama taught the humans how to harvest plants, cook with fire, and Levana taught the humans how to collect seeds from plants and replant them in the earth. Idama was a seer, and Levana was an herbalist. Levana's magic created plant medicines that expand consciousness and direct the migration and cultural evolution of humans. Idama's magic created the ability to travel to the other realms where the future is woven from the past and to make blood bonds through sacrifice. When Idama and Levana put their magics together, they made two daughters, Leia and Rachel. Leia was known for her ability to do magic on the dark moon, and Rachel was known for her ability to do magic on the full moon. Wherever Leia went, she was followed by herds of cattle, whereas Rachel was always followed by herds of sheep. Both animals gave of their bodies to help the humans. They gave milk for their babies and meat for the others. They taught the people how to make clothes from their skin, and when Leia and Rachel put those magics together, they created the red string and the white eye and gave them to the people for protective amulets. Wherever Leia and Rachel put their magics together, they placed Asherot and Teraphim into the black earth as a reminder that when they worked together, all gifts of life and death were given to them from the Great Mother. If you find a place that has rich black ground and you build a red tent with an opening where you can see the white moon, Leia and Rachel will bless you with the blessings of Idama the red and Levana the white, like this. V'yiten lecha ha'elohim mital ha'shamayim v'umish mane ha'aretz v'rov dagen v'tirosh. The gods give you the dew of heaven and the fat of the earth and plenty of grain and new wine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Julie. I use she, her, or they, them pronouns. I'm a white person with short brown hair. I'm in front of a blue wall. that looks green because of the yellow light. I wanted to share an interesting thing I've been learning about related to Yule, which is the controversy surrounding where it's from, why we use this term, who uses this term, and should we? So I'm in this Facebook group called Irish Witchcraft, and it's a space that is kind of critical of kind of how the different terms in the Wheel of the Year have been all applied together. And so there was this interesting post from someone in the group about what does this mean for the term Yule in relation to more Celtic paganism. So this is a post I got permission to read it from the person who wrote it, someone who helps run the group called Skywalker. And so this is what they said. I keep seeing discourse about whether Yule is or is not Irish paganism. And I can fully understand that due to the bastardization of the Wheel of the Year in the 1970s. It's incredibly important to realize what was happening when that particular wheel was crafted. Aidan Kelly decided that there needed to be one unified calendar to simplify pagan folk traditions. And so he took sacred names and symbolism from many different cultures, threw them together, and voila, there is the Wheel of the Year as we unfortunately know it. It's an oversimplification of people's cultural practices, or in some cases, it's entirely made up based on very loose associations Aidan Kelly thought were similar without doing his due diligence in the form of research. So is Yule Irish? It is my understanding that no, it is not. From what I know, Yule has its roots in Norse paganism. But this is where my knowledge ends. If you want to know about Norse paganism, then that is your prerogative. You will need to seek out an ethical source. I cannot point you to a good direction here because it is not a path I journey down. I think what is happening when we want to cling to Yule as a title but practice Irish paganism is actually rooted in our love for tradition, in holiday celebrations, perhaps a childhood celebrating Christmas, but they feel ick to us now, and a desire to celebrate the magic that is the winter solstice season. I get that completely. What I can do is steer you in directions to find sources and options for celebrating the holidays that are rooted in Irish practices. Let's not forget that Irish are predominantly Catholic and have celebrated Christmas for centuries. It is my belief that you can marry the traditions you were raised in and that have been practiced by your ancestors for centuries with your own personal pagan practices. I know this can be seen as controversial, so make those decisions for yourself as you see fit. For me and mine, there is magic buried in Catholic practices. As far as Irish pagan resources for the winter solstice, we do know that these days were incredibly important to our ancestors. I would like to steer you in the direction of Laura O'Brien's article on the Wheel of the Year as seen from an Irish pagan perspective. I am also including a link to their article and how they celebrate the winter solstice. These are intended for you to read and find your own journey. Part of the fun of being pagan lies within your ability to be creative and draw upon your knowledge of history and your traditions to form your own practices. I do hope this helps you on your journey to do so. And that's the end of the post. So thanks to Sky. And I'm reading this not to say that we shouldn't say Yule, but that if we are going to say it, like, let's learn where it's from and not say it's cultic. And, you know, I think there's space to critique terms and like use them respectfully and honorably. And I think that's possible with the term Yule. It seems the criticisms are even more with some of the other terms, like Mabon is like a really touchy subject, that particular term. And so if any of us, myself included, because I have both Celtic and Germanic roots, if any of us would like to learn about the term Yule from a Norse perspective, someone shared a couple resources and I'll put these in the chat. So one of them is Dr. Rune Hinjarno Rasumen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing their name correctly. Their website is NordicAnimism.com, and they also recommended Heathen Woman United. They have a Facebook group, and their website is HeathenWomanUnited.org for like a true Norse perspective on Yule. And I will also share the link to the article, which is a resource about Irish pagan holidays and like what names they're using for some for these holidays, which is on LauraO'Brien.ie, LauraO'Brien.ie. And if you search that and Irish pagan holidays, the article will come up, and I'll put these in the chat too. So thanks for listening to this controversial take.
I feel like that hot take was like so sweet and thoughtful. I felt like that was like one of the the like least inflamed versions of this conversation that I've heard. So I appreciate the work I know you must have done to find that one.
Yeah, and these are exactly the kinds of conversations that we want to have, that are like hot takes and controversial and asking questions about the vocabulary that we use, but coming from this place of compassion and respect and self-education and mutual education. And I'm so excited and grateful, Julie, that you brought that to our solstice table. I definitely use a lot of terms for this time of year. I did find a company that makes solstice greeting cards, so My family is getting happy solstice cards this year, and
I think it's so nice to acknowledge, and as you did, and I was thinking when I was listening to that piece, like I'm both Norse, Celtic, British, you know, Iroquois, like I'm just a mixed bag. So I think like so many of us, when we're seeking our spirituality through our witch practices, we find our way in the beginning through these folks in the 70s that pushed it into visibility. And so we sort of have to navigate them. Like we have to navigate their like shittiness as much as their like their real bravery too, you know? I think that those stories are like, as much as it's so many annoying white men just stealing things and making religious ceremonies where they got to have sex with virgins or whatever, there was a really profound thing happening at the same time too. And Women's Spirit is such a testimony to that too, that Women's Spirit magazine, those people. Anyway, if anyone else wants to respond to that or tell a story or sing a song.
Does everybody already know about the reindeer? Okay, so my name is Deborah. I'm right now on occupied Yolamu land in California, also called San Francisco. I am of Norse and Jewish heritages, so talk about navigating some crazy shit. I just want to share one of my favorite things about this time of year holiday, which is the whole Santa Claus in the red and white coat driving the flying reindeer story, and like what that, where that really comes from, which is it was a practice, and maybe still is a practice, of the indigenous peoples of Finland who raised reindeer and were very much honoring of the reindeer mother goddess, to feed the red and white Amanita mushroom to their reindeer. And the Amanita mushroom is poisonous to humans if we ingest it. But if we give it to the reindeer and let them eat it, their liver will filter out all the toxins. And when the reindeers piss, it still holds the hallucinogenic properties of the Amanita, but it doesn't have the toxic properties of the Amanita. So then you can drink the reindeer pee and you can have your hallucinogenic solstice experience. But at the same time, the reindeers are definitely high and flying. So you can see all the imagery in this story as red and white mushroom person riding on the flying reindeers, and us enjoying and learning really esoteric and cool stuff from this experience.
That's my new favorite holiday story. Thanks, Sarah. You know that perfectly. And it's my favorite ever.
Yeah. This is where we get flying reindeer, right?
This is where we get flying reindeer. This is why Santa wears red and white, because Santa's a mushroom.
Yeah, it looks just, we have those mushrooms all through the woods near us, and I will never not see Santa now.
Yes, I've heard some of these before, but I've never heard the sentence, Santa is a mushroom, and that I want on a Christmas sweater at some point. I'm going to have to like embroider a mushroom themed Christmas sweater. Yeah. Santa is a mushroom.
Can I get some jingle bells on that?
Dawn, are you ready to give us a song?
I am, but the song I had planned was not feeling right now. So I'm going to change it up. Is that okay?
Of course. Okay. I love that. The muses, spirit muses.
We love that energy.
So when she was talking about heritage, my dad's side of the family is German Methodist and my mother's side of the family is Jewish. And so this is a song that's always resonated with me, especially this time of year. So it's Silent Night in German. Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, alle schlaft einsam wach, nur das traurige Paar, ore nave mit lockige Haar. Schlaf in Himmelschein, schlaf in Himmelschein, stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, Gottes Sohn, oh wie lacht, lieb aus deinem göttlichen Mund, da und schlägt die rettende Stund. Christ in deine Geburt. Christ in deine Geburt.
Thank you for that. I don't know if in anybody else's families you like caroled. Like, did you go and walk the streets caroling? Yeah, Holly, you did. I felt like that was so like key to my childhood. And then I was talking with people recently who were like, oh, you can just go caroling? Like, you don't have to be a choir or something? Like, no, you just go.
We used to do it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Toby. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, we didn't do it so much as a kid, but when my kids were little, and they're all, you know, in their 20s now, but when they were little, we'd go with my neighbors, and we'd, you know, of course, bring our wine, and somebody'd always have a guitar, and we'd just go around the neighborhood. And then they, one of the people in the group, they worked also at a like a senior assisted living place, so we'd go and be in like the Alzheimer's kind of wing of the place and go and sing, and you know, kids are all like 3 years old and doing their little, you know, stuff. It was adorable.
That's the best. I have those memories too, and I'm so thankful that you were that mom. That's so great that you had that moment for your kids where you were like, yeah, no, now we just go sing in public.
I don't know if they'd agree that that was such a great idea now, looking back, but we had fun.
Oh, I loved hearing A Silent Night. Thank you so much for that. I loved hearing it in German. It was so beautiful. I also loved watching the auto transcription because it was talking a lot about a dog. It kept saying, hi, Karen. It tried really hard, and it was really great.
Before we let you go, though, Holly, is this a Holly and the Ivy? Are you named after this time of year?
I am. My parents were quite original, so my birthday's on the 16th, and I'm Holly Christine.
So, Holly Christine.
Here we are. Yep.
Holly, do you want to do a story or a song or a poem or a reading or share some of your beautiful, shiny vibe?
I just kind of came here to soak it all in tonight. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to join, but something to share that's kind of off topic, but kind of off topic. But I know. Oh, here we are. But so I have been creating. Thank you, Don, for that. I've been creating an online course and like working my ass off on it. And yesterday I was like, okay, I'm committing to my launch date and it's going to kick my ass to finish it. I'm doing it early January. So like, hi, let's do this all through the holidays and birthday time to like just, you know, work my ass off. But so I committed and I have all the dates and workshops set up and everything for next year. And then today I got in the mail a check unexpectedly for $704.38. Yep. I know. It was pretty, you know, I'm like, happy birthday. Thank you, State Farm Insurance Overage.
State Farm was there.
I know.
I'm so excited. Will you share the link when you're ready? Will you share the...
Yeah, sure. It'll be a bit because I'm still, you know, working on all the workings and the background and stuff like that. But I'm pretty excited about it. And it's going to be like nine and a half months of birthing this baby. And it scares the crap out of me to put it out there because it's making me very visible. It's all videos, which I would never have thought I would have done. And, you know, that kind of thing. So it's taken me out of my comfort zone. But anyways, I just was so excited about that check. I'm like, yay, okay, let's do this.
All signs point to yes.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting. Well, we can't wait to share that with everybody when you're ready.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go from Holly to the Holly and the Ivy, shall we, Adrienne? I know you saw that segue coming a mile away. You're like, oh, I'm going to be next. I'm going to be next.
Awesome. Well, hi, everybody. I'm Adrienne Blanks. I use she, her pronouns. I love the way somebody else ID'd themselves before, so I'll do that too. I am a white person with brown hair, have blue eyes. I'm wearing a white sweater. It has little blue snowflakes on it, and I'm in front of what I like to call my witch wall because it has suns and moons and eyes and palms on it. And I live in Asheville, North Carolina, which is Cherokee land. I am a singer-songwriter and I am a witch. And I decided this year to record, well, actually it was 2021. Wow, is that a real number? I recorded this song last year to come out this year. So I have found the original pagan lyrics to The Holly and the Ivy. I've known for a while that the song was first pagan before it got appropriated by the Christians. And I'm a professional singer. I was in the opera world for a long time. I worked for churches. I did professional caroling. I have lots of caroling stories, by the way. And, you know, around 2017, I was starting to realize that I'm a witch, and all the signs were there, but this was like when I was finally starting to step into it. And I was going to, you know, church service after church service, just realizing like this wasn't aligning with me anymore. And so something that I found a lot of comfort in at this time of the year was investigating the songs that had been pagan or some pagan songs that I could listen to for Yule. And I started building a playlist, and it would make me really happy when I would be caroling, you know, at the steakhouse, and somebody would be like, oh, can we have the holly and the ivy? And I'd be like, tee-hee, this song's actually pagan. And I would carry my little Llewellyn Sabbat essentials with me, and I would read it, you know, on my breaks, and it just helped me really to ground in. So I know for a long time that I wanted to record this song, but it's interesting. It just keeps like getting bigger and bigger on itself. So I went down to Charlotte last year and recorded this song, and I just am so happy with the team of people that played on this. But I think Amy was asking me about the guitarist in particular, because I feel like the hook, the melodic hook that he came up with, just like really makes the song. But also the percussionist came in and was like, he had so many ideas. He was like, this song has to be Celtic, and this is the drum feel, and everything just kind of like, honestly, it started there, like things built on each other then. And then fast forward a year, you know, I've got the song mixed and mastered. I know I want to release it for holidays 2022. I decided to record a music video to go with it. I invited a few of my friends from Chicago, because that's where I lived before Asheville, and a few of my friends that are here to be in this concept that I came up with, was that these witches are having a dinner party for Yule in the woods, and that I fall asleep and get invited to this party. They, you know, wake me up and I turn into a glamour witch like the rest of them. And then we do a ritual for Yule. And the music video is actually coming out on Saturday. I'm so lucky. There's an amazing witchcraft store here called Raven and Crone, and they're going to be hosting the premiere party on Friday night. And yeah, it's just been like really, really exciting. One of the coolest things about the music video is that so many femmes have come together to make this music video just keep up leveling. And so we had some folks called Picnic Pop-Up Asheville design like the tablescape of your dreams. I really wish I could like drop photos in the chat right now, but it's just so gorgeous. I'll leave my Instagram handle so you can like take a little peep. And there's a gal in town, her name is Amanda Tweed, but her company is called Mountain Flower Fantasies, and she makes fantasy gowns, like think Lord of the Rings. And she let us wear some of her dresses in the music video. And there's so many collaborators that came together to make this happen. And, you know, the song like really gave me a lot of comfort at one time. And I hope that it's able to do that for other people who are looking to celebrate in their own way at this time of year. So I did make a lyric video today, because I hear kids are really into lyric videos. So I'm going to drop that in the chat, and it's on YouTube, and it actually has like all the links to all my stuff.
Her power. The holly bears a berry, red as any blood, and ivy bears the greenest leaves to wrap him in her hood. The holly bears a prickle, sharp as any thorn, and ivy bears a clinging vine to smother him right down. The holly bears a bark, bitter as any gall, and ivy bears small nectar flowers to sweeten all his fall.
Thank you so much for sharing that and joining us.
Thank you for having me. My favorite caroling story is probably this one time we'd been like on a long gig. It was one of those days where we probably had like 3 gigs in one day.
Yes.
And we're at this Christmas party in some like upper crust suburbs, and we were basically like musical furniture. And these folks, they all had like Christmas suits on made out of like, you know, like the big cheeky like necklace of light bulbs you wear. That was the pattern for the fabric that they were all wearing. There were like 9 of them all wearing like matching suits and dresses of this. And they said, you know what? You've had a long day. Why don't you sit down and we'll sing you a song? And they sang the most enthusiastic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer I've ever heard in my life.
That's awesome. And so strange.
It was like,
why were they all dressed the same?
I like how you described yourselves as singing furniture. I feel like, yeah, we know that. We know that vibe.
Thank you. Thanks for the love in the chat. I appreciate it.
Yeah, truly so beautiful. Carly?
Okay.
Hi.
Like 5 times I've been like, should I go? Should I not? Should I get? And then it's like, anyways, I was just waiting to be interrupted or something. I'm Carly. So I didn't like, I have a song, but it's not a Christmas song. It's more just witchy. I hope that's okay. And I don't have any music accompaniment either. I'm just going to sing it a cappella. I don't know if you guys know the song, but it's called Savage Daughter by Sarah Hester Ross. And it's like one of my go-to witchy power songs. So I guess I will just start. Let me just drink water first.
Okay, drink water, and then imagine Amy just ringing bells. Just ringing, ringing bells. Ring you in.
Yeah. Okay. I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot cursing sharp stones. I am my mother's savage daughter. I will not cut my hair. I will not lower my voice. My mother's child is a savage. She looks for omens in the colors of stones, in the faces of cats, in the falling of feathers, in the dancing of fire and the curve of all bones. I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot cursing sharp stones. I am my mother's savage daughter. I will not cut my hair. I will not lower my voice.
My mother's child dances in darkness. She sings heathen songs by the light of the moon and watches the stars and renames the planets and dreams she can reach them with a song and a broom. I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot cursing sharp stones. I am my mother's savage daughter. I will not cut my hair. I will not lower my voice. We are all brought forth out of darkness into this world through blood and through pain. And deep in our bones, the old songs are waking. So sing them with voices of thunder and rain. We are our mother's savage daughters, the ones who run barefoot, cursing sharp stones. We are our mother's savage daughters. We will not cut our hair. We will not lower our voice.
Fuck yeah. Blessed fucking be.
Thank you.
So I'm Corby. I go by, I love you, Dawn. I go by she, her, hers. Most of the time, unless psycho bitch is online, then I'm a they. But she only comes online when I have to protect. So you guys had talked about the caroling. When I was in high school, every year I would have a caroling party, and all of my like people that didn't usually hang out would come to our house and hang out, and we would go all over the little town that I was raised in. And it was really great. They loved it because the teenagers were singing and they weren't doing bad things with toilet paper and apples and other things, poop bags of poop. And they liked us for that. So what I was going to share, I was going to try to play guitar, but I've just did not have any time at all. I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to be on tonight. So I don't have my guitar ready, but one of my very favorite things to grow up with at Christmas is the Muppets. Christmas, you know, the Muppets. Anything Muppets, I'm all about. And so the John Denver and the Muppets I was raised on, I was almost named Sunshine after the John Denver song Sunshine on My Shoulders. So I was kind of raised on him. And John Denver was my first exposure to what a naturalist was. I had no idea about that until I was like maybe 6 or 7. And that was when I was my mother's wild daughter. Never combing her hair, always in the muck and playing, scooping up crayfish and salamanders and bringing them home and watching them grow and then letting them go back. The song that I chose was It's in Every One of Us, which is my very favorite Muppets John Denver song next to the Peace Carol.
Yes!
But I've kind of changed the versions a little bit to kind of reflect where I'm at right now, because this is an awkward time for me right now. I'm in spirituality stages, so to speak. So I have a lot of, it's hard to let go of the things that I don't want to let go of, and I don't want to let go of some of those things, so I'm just not gonna. But at the same time, I'm trying to create... I'm trying to embrace my Catholic roots, but to be able to also, because for me, I grew up, I was not hurt in the church. I was loved and precious. I had a really good experiences in the church, but I can't stand now I see, I'm not the little girl that's like pretty and listens to them. Now I see, and they don't want to hear what I have to say. So I can't be a part of that anymore. So this is kind of like a weird stage for me. So just kind of sharing this so thank you for letting me share this with you. But anyways, my point is I kind of changed some of the words because I can, it's my song. So I'm gonna try. It's in every one of us to be kind. Find your heart, open up both your eyes. We can all know everything without ever knowing why. It's in every one of us by and by. It's in every one of us to be wise. Find your voice, open up both your eyes. We can all know everything without ever knowing why. It's in every one of us by and by. It's in every one of us by and by.
So I'm Hope. I'm a baby witch. That's 50 years old, so I'm gonna add that. I am a white woman. I am not good with this pronoun thing. I feel really old sometimes. I'm just a she, her, or whatever you wanna call me. I'm the type of person that will let a professor call her a totally different name an entire semester because I don't wanna upset her. So whatever you wanna call me, bring it on. I'm fine. I found this little reading, this little poem, little story. And I went, oh my God, this is so cute. It's 'Twas the Night Before Yuletide. It's pretty old. It was originally written, actually, so it was updated by CC, I think it's called a Whittaford, or Williford. And I can't find who originally wrote it. But here we go. I'm gonna do my best. After everybody's beautiful voices, I feel like so small.
Hope, I just want you to pause and hear in your head Amy's bells jingling loudly for you. Just feel the wave of the loud, really aggressively loud jingles just washing over you with all our love.
I love the jingle bells. You can do it anytime. I might actually cover my voice, and that would be great because I'm going to probably flub a lot. So here we go. 'Twas the night before Yuletide, and all through the glen, not a creature was stirring, not a fox, not a hen. A mantle of snow shone brightly that night as it lay on the ground, reflecting moonlight. The fairies were nestled all snug in their trees, unmindful of flurries and chilly north breeze. The elves and the gnomes were down in their burrows, sleeping like babies as they're in their soft earthen furrows. When lo, the earth moved with a thunderous quake, causing chairs to fall over and dishes to break. The little fox scrambled to get on their feet. They raced to the river where they usually meet. What happened, they wondered, they questioned, they probed. As they shivered in night clothes, some bare-armed, some robed. What caused the earth to shudder? What caused her to shiver? They all spoke at once as they stood by that river. Then what to their wondrous eyes should appear but a shiny gold light in the shape of a sphere, It blinked and it twinkled. It winked like an eye. Then it flew straight up and was lost in the sky. Before they could murmur, before they could bustle, there emerged from the crowd with a swish and a rustle, a stately old crone with her hand on a cane, resplendent in green, with a flowing white mane. As she passed by them, the crone's perfume, smelling of meadows and flowers abloom, made each of the fae folk think of the spring, when the earth wakes from the slumber and the birds start to sing. "My name is Gaia," the old crone proclaimed, in a voice that was at once both wild and tamed. "I've come to remind you, for you seem to have forgot, that Yule is a time of rebirth, and yet I see no earth fires, no, I hear no music, no bells." "The air isn't filled with rich fragrance smells, the baking and roasting and simmering stews of cider in mold or other hot brews. There aren't any children at play in the snow, or houses lit up by candles' glow. Have you forgotten, my children, the fun of celebrating the rebirth of the sun?" She looked at the fae folk, her eyes going round, as they shuffled their feet and stared at the ground. Then she smiled the smile that brings light to the day. "Come, my children, let's play." They gathered the mistletoe, gathered the holly, threw off the drab and drew on the jolly. They lit the bonfire and they danced and they sang. They brought out the bells and clapped when they rang. Then strung the lights on the tree in boughs, oh so merry, in colors of cranberry, bayberry, cherry. They built giant snowmen, adorned them with hats, then surrounded them with snowbirds, snow cats, and bats. Then just before dawn, at the end of their fest, before they went homeward to seek out their rest, the fae folk they gathered around their favorite oak tree and welcomed the sun neath the tree's finery. They were just reaching home when suddenly came a gold light returned like a arrow shot flame. It lit on the treetop where they could see from afar. The golden like sphere turned into a star. The old crone smiled at the beautiful sight. "Happy Yuletide, my children," as she said, "good night." That's it.
Yay, I love that. Oh my god, I love that story.
I have not done a lot of reading in so long. This was like really hard. I used to do that. I went to school and I went to college and so thank you all for being my audience. I appreciate that. This was good. And I love that story. It's just, I can kind of see this crone and her cane and, you know, like, why have you forgotten? What is your problem? And have I taught you nothing? Right. You know?
And let's play.
Yeah.
Come on, let's play.
Yeah, I loved that one.
It was beautifully read and we're honored to be your audience.
Thank you.
Something that I think about a lot at Halloween and Easter and Christmas time, these holidays that on one hand we can look at and think about what we've lost. At the other hand, I look at them and I see the echoes of our ancestors reaching out to us through the eons, you know. And when people wish each other Merry Christmas, I remember that they're not just, it's not Christianity they're talking about, because if it was that, the birth of Christ was in September and those kind of things. The reason they're wishing each other Merry Christmas right now is because of the significance of this time of year and the Christmas tree and the lights and the festival of lights all around the world, and all of those things bring us together as a humanity. And trying to just see all those little echoes reaching out at us every day as you walk through, and people are decorating and people have all kinds of tchotchke on their yards, and those are those echoes speaking to us every day.
I don't necessarily have like a blessing, more of kind of like a spell that I was, I don't know. You decide what it is. but basically, on the night of Yule, one of my witchy friends, she told me to take a candle, set it not like on the Christmas tree, or, you know, not even, even if you don't have a Christmas tree, just set it anywhere. But like, for me, it was like, set it on the Christmas tree. And she was like, close your eyes, meditate with the candle, and just imagine the light getting brighter and brighter as we welcome the Oak King back, because that's when the Oak King comes back into power. So just like the light getting brighter and brighter and just kind of filling the world type thing.
I hate to be that, the Amy Torek of the group, but I feel like putting a lit candle on a Christmas tree, you wouldn't have to imagine the light getting bigger and bigger and filling the room, because you've set your house on fire. So yeah, listeners,
that's what I mean. Like, don't set it on your Christmas tree. Put it like near your Christmas tree or something.
Thank you. Safety first, people. Yeah. Yes. Safety first, magic second. But yes. Yeah. Everything else was perfect. Safety first, magic second. Yeah. But yes, let's imagine the light growing and filling the room rather than manifesting that. But thank you so much for that, Carly. I love this notionally of bringing, we talk about all the time, of bringing our own light to the solstice, bringing that light that lives within us out at this time of year. You know, who needs the sun, right? Satleen, I know you wanted to share something. Please, sure. Join.
So for those of you who don't know me, my spiritual name is Satleen. And I'm in Minnesota, and it was -9 or -11 Fahrenheit this morning. So it was quite cold, not a good day to go to the dentist. And what I wanted to share is about, I don't know who knows about bayberry candles, and about the history and the lore and magic behind them. Any shaking of hands or heads or anything? No. Okay, I see one, one head bobbing up. So is bayberry candles, for those of you who may not be familiar with, are not made from traditional wax, but are made from bayberry berries and the wax on that. And in New England, but that's where I'm from, being in the US, Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts area. And it took 15 pounds of bayberries to make, I'm trying to think what the number was, but to make like 24 candles, if that. So but they burned bright, they burned clean, they were very expensive. And often, you know, it was people who had more money, or, and then, so if you had bayberry candle, it was very precious. And often it would be shared with a friend. And this is what I know from growing up, is that we would have, you know, bayberry candle with, you know, connected with the wick there, hanging, from the rifle over the mantle, and is so one, and you cut the wick, and each one would bring home that candle. And it was said that you're supposed to light it when you see the first star, and that the candle can burn all the way down, and that it will bring you good luck. There was something here I did find. It says, the legend of the bayberry candle says that a bayberry candle burnt to the socket brings food to the larder and gold to the pocket. So I am sharing a bayberry candle with each of you. And yes, practice candle safety and put it in the sink. And let it burn all the way out.
Practice candle safety.
So thank you. And I'm so thankful for all of you here. And also, I'll just mention, as I did bring my dear spiritual sister, Jess, with me, who's over there with some wings over her head. But yes, so thank you for having her, and thank you for having me.
Go for it, Michelle, love. It's so nice to see your face.
Hey, everybody. You know, when you guys were talking about the tree and putting candles on a tree and letting things grow brighter and warmer, it made me think of one of my neighbors who, with their holiday decorations, and they put out a tree, a small Christmas tree. There's no lights on it. But it's a warmth tree. They put a sign next to it, and it has in little Ziploc baggies, hand crocheted or knitted hats, gloves, scarves, and the sign says, "This is a warmth tree. If you need warmth, please help yourself. Or if you know someone that needs warmth, please take this to them." And every time I drive past it, and I don't know these neighbors, but my daughter and I, when we go to the gym after school, we drive their houses on the route to where we go to the gym. So, and Carly, as you're working on your lovely craft, I would say for anybody who's a crocheter or a knitter, and you have, you know, maybe just enough yarn for some hats or, you know, some little mittens and all of that, and you're like, what do I do with this? Put it outside with your holiday decorations with a sign, so that if somebody's walking by and needs something to help keep them warm, they would have that. And maybe that would also be, you know, a little bit of a spell.
And I love the language that your neighbor used, Michelle, that, you know, warmth, like not necessarily someone who needs mitts, or if you know someone who needs a hat, but this notion of warmth, like I imagine like having a depressive episode and taking a pair of hand crocheted, you know, mittens off of a tree, and this emotional sense of warmth, you know, that's not just physical. This idea of warmth that comes up so much around this time of year because we are cold, but also we're happy talking together.
Right.
I love that they use that vocabulary of warmth, not just mitts or hats, but warmth.
Yeah. Yeah. And it reminds me too, I don't remember if it was you or Risa who was talking about like the church ladies, the church bazaar, like heavy yarn, like slipper socks, you know, that you find every church lady making. But, you know, there's some of those on there too. And they're like, they do different sizes. So you see there's ones for children and some for adults. So, you know, it's something where if you have supplies that you're like, what am I going to do with these little bits and pieces of things? You can certainly, you know, if you don't live on a street that gets a lot of foot traffic, you know, donate them to, you know, an animal shelter for their auction or a fundraiser or, you know, something like that. Or, you know, your local shelter for people who may be unhoused. And if you know, doing something on a tree in your yard isn't appropriate.
I just want to say quickly, the minute you said she has like a warm tree outside and puts like the little knitting stuff on, I was like, oh my God, that's such a good idea. I think I want to do that. Yay. So, I mean, I have to get through these hats
because these are for people that I'm gifting for Christmas. Oh, Christmas is always a busy time for hats for me, but I definitely want to do that. That's such a good idea.
Well, and it's not like you have to get the warming tree done for Christmas, because the warming will need to happen in January and February too. So
that's very true. Yeah.
You can just have like a winter tree.
Yeah, the tree, I notice like throughout the season, usually the tree is up. And I'm in Northeast Ohio. So we, of course, it was different when I was a kid. But now we usually don't get big snowstorms till January, February. And sometimes, you know, we'll get them in March, maybe April, because it's got to snow on the daffodils, you know. But the tree is definitely out there with stuff on it, and it gets restocked, you know, till usually the last snow. So, you know, you don't have to hustle to get it out in time for, you know, conventional holiday time.
That is, yeah, so I'll just take my time, because I find when I push things, then I don't want to do them anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely gonna like just start doing whatever. Anyways, I'll stop talking, you guys.
Go ahead, Sally.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you, Michelle. The thought of a warming tree, when you said that, I thought of like just radiating, you know, warmth. And at our public library, it's like, what is that? And it was like a mitten, or it didn't say, you know, a tree. I think it said something like, please leave or take as you need, something like that. They had a structured, you know, wooden type kind of mod looking thing. And I did take up knitting, loom knitting, over COVID. And I am definitely going to use those weird random ends of yarn or other, and make some nice warm scarves to put there, or hats like Carly there. I think you're making a hat. So thank you.
I'll read Sarah's blessing that she dropped in the chat. Feels appropriate next to the warming tree. Fire, fire, burning bright. Keep me warm all through the night. How many of you, just curious, have access to fire in a fireplace? How many of you burn candles? How significant is fire to your Yuletide celebration? All the hands are up. Anyone want to dive in with some words with their hands?
Interesting for me, like, As a kid, I was petrified of fire, petrified of fire. I wouldn't strike a match. One year for Christmas, I really, you know, so I'm gonna be 53 next week. So like, I'm going old school, and had like one year for Christmas, I wanted to plug in alarm clock when I was like 9, because I was gonna be able to wake myself up for school, you know, on my own. And I got this alarm clock, and I was so stoked on it. And the first night I plugged it in, I woke up saying the alarm clock's going to catch the house on fire. And I freaked out, and I was heartbroken, because I like wanted this alarm clock so bad. And I went to my mom, and she's like, we like, yes, but it's probably okay. And fortunately, my mom didn't shame me on any of that. So we tried it again the second night, same thing. So we ended up throwing the thing out. And one of my first books that I checked out from the library was on witchcraft with candle magic. But I was all like, oh, that's too scary, because candles, and I, you know, I don't feel like I can safely do this thing. So I'm going to kind of put this away. And then now it's changed my whole practice. And that's the part that I'm loving even most now about my witchcraft practice is candle magic. But I'm all like safe about it still. I don't have a fire extinguisher next to me or anything like that. But like, I'm like, really, like, let's make sure that, you know,
I'm so happy with our wonderful practical coven, whose Yuletide special has turned into a candle safety. It's like an infomercial for candle safety, and I'm here for it. I'm with it. Does anybody else have any thoughts about practicing witchcraft safely with candles?
Sarah, we see your face.
I know. Sorry, I'm like momming it over here really like big time, so that's why my screen's off and but I'm here. I'm Sarah. I'm so happy to see you all. I love you guys all so much, so much. My house is heated by a wood stove, which I've named the Beast, and she's right here, if I can show it to you. And I'm like sweating so bad. She's so hot right now. And it's so funny because I feel like with fire, it's so needed and warming and powerful, but you do not, like, we're so wise to like be smart with it because, or as the Hindi word Agni, right? You know, the fire god. You mess up one time, you're gonna get burned hard, right? I have inside my stove, when you open it up, a sigil for protection. And I pray every night because I want it to warm my house, but not burn my house down. And every time I leave, because here in Western Maine, you know, it goes year round, I say a prayer, and I'm also Jewish, so I like touch, you know, like I say a couple prayers every time I leave. And as I'm driving down, I'm like, oh gosh, should I say my like spell? Did I like make sure my house is going to be safe and everything? So every night, like that's been a ritual, as like the wintering months, the cold months come and then go and everything. And also I have to just say, I love this time because it doesn't matter like what background you have as a witch, whether it be Jewish or Christian or whatever, burning light and warmth from the fire in the dark months. And that is universal, and it's so beautiful. It's magical. And, you know, so I just like, yeah. Anyways, that's my little piece.
Oh my gosh, you remind me, we have to keep the fire going. It's downstairs for us. We keep it going all winter. But when May was first born, Mark was keeping the fire going, and he went downstairs, and downstairs was filling with smoke, and you could see red between the seams of the chimney. And he was like, everybody got to get the fuck out. Like, so I ran across the street with May and called 911. We keep a ladder leaned up against our roof for shoveling ice off the roof, so we don't get massive ice dams. Cause you know, we get like 6 feet of snow on the roof. I'm looking at Sarah, cause I'm like, Sarah and Amy know this weather. So you're up all winter shoveling the snow off your roof so your house doesn't collapse. So that he runs up the ladder, and I can see him from my neighbor's house while I'm on the phone with 911, shoveling snow down the top of the chimney to put out the fire that's coming up the center of our house. And then, you know, fire trucks arrive and they go up, and basically to Mark, which makes sense if you know him, they were like, so did you volunteer at the fire? Do you want to? Is that something that we could sign you up for? Because I guess his instinct was right and he had put out the fire. We had to replace the chimney, replace the fireplace, but the house was unscathed. And I was thinking about this week, like I've been driving my daughter to school in the rain, ice rain. I only got my license this year. I'm trying to be very brave and also really pay attention to my intuition, to my feeling. And I drove by a spot and was like, oh, that's funny. I've been neglecting to look that way when I turn this way. And I should make sure I do that. Like that's like something I haven't been noticed. I thought they had a stop sign there, but they don't. And the very next time I pulled up to it, a car went flying by with a girl texting, and I didn't have a stop sign. It was just my job to not fly through, like, you know. I was thinking about how sometimes magic is just that. It's just like noticing that smallest moment of warning or intuition that comes the day before the thing happens, or the moment before the thing happens. Anyway, you remind me of that.
As witches, we like
listen to our instinct and listen to our ancestors or whatever the wind whispering in our ears, and we benefit from that. Thank the goddess. God X.
All hail the God X.
I love fire for this exact reason, is that at my house, it's like Sarah's house. It's like, keep us alive and also don't kill us. We pray to the fire through this winter to find that sweet spot where you're keeping us alive. And it's so contrary, just like this space between binaries and between atoms that we live in as witches.
So can I add in here, in Russian tradition, there are these things called the Domorovai, and they're the spirits of your fireplace. And if you feed them during the winter, they will keep your house safe. And it's a tradition that you always leave a little bit of food in your hearth or your fire place every evening, a little bit of your food to feed the Domorovai, and they'll guard your entire house, not just the fire area. They're bringing that in for you all winter people.
I'm gonna start doing that. We've been like taking bits of bread and putting it outside, and nuts and seeds around the house, kind of circling the house in some bounty, but I'm gonna start saving some. Some goes on the altar. I'm gonna start feeding some to the fire.
And Sarah, you know, in our tradition in Judaism, we burn a little bit of the challah every week when we make it in the oven. That actually comes from that Russian tradition of feeding the Domorovai.
Yeah, I was going to say there's so many cultures that do a little bit of that, you know. I'm also a little bit Irish, and like the goddess Bridget, is you're supposed to keep her near the fire to like watch over it for like similar reasons, you know. It's like, it's so fantastic how this all, it all just is like layers of similarity. It's all connected, you know. We're all so more similar than we are dissimilar.
I love that you just said that, Sarah, because I feel that, like in Christianity, it's the one God, right? The one Jesus. It's the one, the only. But I really do believe that, and I always have, even though I was told not to, that there are so many more gods and goddesses. There's so many more entities that are so much greater than us, that are kind of dabbling and pulling and, you know, driving, mixing us around, whatever. It's not just one. So I love that, you know, there is no one and only religion. You have to kind of give a little bit of honor and respect to all of them and to all of those that practice all of them, because that's what grounds them. I can't tell you that you're wrong, and you sure as hell better not tell me that I am. Although I'm still not at a point where I can tell my father that I have walked away from his beloved God. But anyway, that was just a really good comment.
I just want to say also, I'm sorry. I
No, good. I thought you were going to respond. Go.
I just want to say, like, in the Christian tradition, isn't the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, there's a triptych in there as well. So that, like, goes, you know, and that's another like similarity. It's not just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not Christian, so I can't really like speak for you guys, but you know, like that there's similarities even there. So it's not really like one God, I mean, you know, but like they all, I don't know, like Hinduism really is a religion of 1,000, you know, gods, but really it's like underneath the Brahma. Is that the right way? There's like the head of it all that like encompass, it's inside their body, right? You know, but it's still like all that. Anyways, I'm sorry. That's why I didn't, wasn't going to comment. Like, I don't have a fully formed thought there, but like I've been feeling the whole triptych, you know, maiden, mother, crone, past, present, future. I don't know if it's just this time of year as we're like cycling to the end and we're going to start over again. I don't know. It's just like there. So.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like at this time of year, my creative or planning or like productive brain goes into overdrive. Like I want to just start to like dig and make and create and plan, but my body is exhausted, just demolished. So I have to keep being like, no, those are seeds. Like put that in a Google Doc, Risa. That's not a project for today. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm really bad at figuring out when to come into conversation.
It's impossible to know. It's impossible to know.
I just want to say to that, I kind of feel like what I've talking with people and like read some stuff, but like this is, you know, all of nature hibernates this time of year except for us. And like, so that's why I feel a lot of people get bogged down, they feel sad, and they, you know, I mean, the sun's not there too, so there's that, but I feel like everyone pushes theirself, and it's like, this is actually, your body is like confused because you're supposed to be resting right now and you're still going full throttle. So I just feel, I don't know, I just felt that, I don't know, that I should say that.
Yeah.
I have something to say or share, I guess, if that's okay.
Of course, welcome.
And I'm not, a regular to your group or even really this whole other facet in this whole other, you know, I have three sisters and my eldest absolutely is a witch to her very core. And I have so much respect for all the knowledge that she carries in so many different areas. It's always very intriguing to me that what the different moons mean. And when I look into it or learn about it, I mean, gosh, there's so many things that can be explained by learning just more about even just that. But just listening to everything that everyone spoke about, saying about, talked about, shared. And when it came to, you know, talking about different, like with fire, with candles, with lights, which I thought of because I think that in some ways, as some cultures kept on, you know, being progressive, whereas some witches stay more towards the wood, you know, fireplace or the candles. There are those of us who have, like me, I have different lights of different colors all around my apartment, inside, outside. I get compliments on them and comments on them a lot, but that's just what I need to feel whole and to feel at home. And I know that represents something. What that is, I haven't learned yet. But what I was kind of getting at was that as everyone shared, and I can't remember, I think it might have been Sarah Webster, I don't know if there's another Sarah, I only see her, who maybe had said that, you know, something about the different backgrounds, whether it be, you know, Christianity or whether it be pagan, et cetera. Well, then we brought, you know, Hinduism, and I guess my thought was, you know, no matter what it is that we're a part of or what we believe or practice, I think we'd all be hard pressed to find any denomination where it's not about being together, about being with other people to celebrate and to share in the joy, to, if you want to call it, praying or praising, giving, you know, thanks for. And it's just kind of an example. This group, I came into it having no idea what to expect or even really what it was about. I got a little bit of information out of my my good friend, but she keeps things in, who, by the way, I will mention also has an amazing singing voice, Satleen, but I know her as someone else, but if you're going to be, yes, I see the, yes, exactly. If you're going to be recruiting people to sing, yeah. I sing too. I play guitar, I write songs and all of that as well. I love music, but that just furthers my point that the one thing that binds everyone is that spirit, that human thing we have that binds us together, that we want to be around others. And usually we want to be around others like us. But for me, a lot, I like to learn new things and see new faces and be exposed to new ideas. And you guys have definitely given me some of that. And I just want to express my gratitude for letting me come into your circle and visit and learn and just hear about all your wonderful ways and listen to beautiful voices. And it's just amazing, you know? And I think that, again, this time of year, the one thing we really all can be thankful for is each other. And that's gonna, like I say, just span across what you believe, no matter what. So I guess that's what I wanted to say, really, was just I'll hold you all close to my heart, how well I know you or not, because it's just who I am. And I have so much gratitude for you, all of you. Thank you.
Yes, the spirit of gratitude for each other definitely rings and echoes throughout this coven. We weave together in loops. Carly made a hat while we were sitting here. And as we know, when you are crocheting or when you're knitting, it's one long string. It's just one long piece of string that you loop and loop and loop and loop until you've created what you imagined of it, what you wanted it to be. So we can bring that spirit of knitting and crocheting and looping together. And especially, I want to return to happy talking together. When I opened up this Women's Spirit magazine and saw these words of Mary Meshack of Boulder, Colorado, submitted in 1977. And she defined Yule as happy talking together. I knew that this was something that we had to share with our beloved coven, and that we hope all of you will share and ripple out throughout this time that can be the most beautiful or the most difficult. Happy talking together. Happy talking together. Happy talking together. We love you so much. Merry solstice. Happy Yule. And blessed fucking be. And happy talking.
Blessed fucking be.
Blessed fucking be. Love you soon, guys.
Solstice, blessed Yuletide. I love you.